And as I was sitting there amongst the audience, I thought, ah, this is for Sunday school. That is for my daughter. You know, I see God in everything. And to the glory of God, I can say that we need to see God in every single thing. Don't let the devil mash you. Don't let the devil take you through the mangle. When he takes you through the mangle and brings you out on the other side, you become less than you were. And my topic today is break the mold. Dare to make a difference. No matter your situation, no matter where you find yourself, dare to make a difference. I'd like us to turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 27. I'm trusting the Lord that I will be quick and his word will be powerful. It will be sharper than a two-edged sword. I'm trusting that what he has indeed will be able to take it in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I bless your holy name. I exalt you because you are God and you are King and there is none like you. Father, take my tongue and make it yours and put the words that you have for me into my mouth. Lord, I will not speak of myself. I will only speak of you in the name of Jesus. Amen. The book of Numbers chapter 27. You know, when you start off life at a disadvantage, sometimes you can take that life and you can think that's all the world has for you. That's all life has for you because you start off at a disadvantage. I'm going to talk to us about some suffragettes. You know, when we hear the word suffragettes, we think of all those that, you know, they gave us the right to vote. Before the suffragettes of the United Kingdom, there were suffragettes in Israel. And in their circumstance and in their situation, they took it and they made a change. And they wrote that change in the annals of the history of Israel. They made a change in legislation that endured forever. Numbers chapter 27 from verse 1. The daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maacah, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, came near, and these are the names of his daughters: Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. They stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the leaders and all the congregation at the doorway of the tent of meeting, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness, yet he was not among the company of those who gathered themselves against the Lord in the company of Torah. But he died of his own sin and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be withdrawn from amongst his family because he had no son? Give us a possession amongst our father's brothers." And Moses brought their case before the Lord. And the Lord said to the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zelophehad are right in their statements." They are right in their statements. "You shall surely give them a hereditary possession amongst their father's brothers, and you shall transfer the inheritance of their fathers to them. Furthermore, you shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, 'If a man dies and has no son, then you shall transfer his inheritance to his daughter. And if he has no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brothers. And if he has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his father's brothers. And if his father has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his nearest relative, to the nearest relative in his own family, and he shall possess it. And it shall be a statutory ordinance to the sons of Israel, just as the Lord commanded Moses.'" Zelophehad. You know, if you want your child to give birth to daughters, just name them Zelophehad. Zelophehad had five daughters. He had no sons. You know, in some cultures, if you have sons, you know, they will say, you know, your sons will, they will be the ones to, you know, to live after you. They will take your name. They will take your, you know, they're your pride and joy. In some cultures, women are nothing. And at this point in time, women were like possessions in Israel. You know, Manasseh was a half tribe. I mean, come on, half. No pedigree. Manasseh was the son of Joseph. He was not like Judah. You know, Judah was full breed. His mother was Hebrew of Hebrews. Manasseh's mother was an Egyptian. ah. You know, so when you gather together and they say, you know, who are you? What are you? Manasseh, their tribe, they couldn't talk. Half tribe of, you know, of Israel, half of a tribe, because he had to use, his brother had to make up the other half. So from the beginning, they were at a disadvantage. And Zelophehad, my brother, what was he thinking? Five women, five girls. You gave birth to the first one. The first one was called Mara. Do you know what that means? That means weakness. The poor man probably thought, ah, my inheritance has gone already. He gave birth to the second one, Noah. Shaky girl. That's what it means, wanderer. You know, she's going to go anyway. Gave birth to the third one, Hogla. That means partridge, you know. If I fly away like a bird. By the time he got to the fourth one, he called her Milcah. And he now thought, ah, things are getting better. I will call her queen. He gave birth to the fifth one, Tirzah. He called her my delight. But you know, Zelophehad's wife, we don't even know what her name was. Why? Because in those days, boys, male children, were the apple of their father's eyes. You know, my sons. Remember Jacob, he called his sons. He didn't call his daughter. He called his sons together. Inheritance belonged to the sons. And we see that in Numbers, you know, chapter 26. Because of time, I won't be able to read so many scriptures. But that they were sharing the land as an inheritance. And this half-tribe, you know, the descendants of this half-tribe came and said, Moses, my father died in Israel. And, you know, I'm just going to digress a little bit and talk about pedigree. You know, when they talk about pedigree, because Manasseh had nothing. And every child that was flowing from him, you know, had that stigma. No pedigree. You know, there was once my husband and I, we were told to fill a form. And they said, what's your pedigree number? My pedigree number. You want to know my pedigree number? I have a pedigree number. I just don't know what it is, because my name is written in the book of life. I don't know what point I am in that book. Maybe I'm number one or number two. But I have a pedigree number. And the Bible says I'm a peculiar person. You know, I like to make something out of everything. You so that people will not catch you unawares. You know, you want to know my pedigree number. I'm a person of pedigree. It's not just Prince Charles and Harry and the royal family. I have blue blood in my veins. But these ones, they thought, you know, because by the time somebody has five girls, they'll think Zelo, 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 you know, how far? You know, like, I'm of African descent. They'll say, how far? You know, five girls in your house. You're loaded. You will pay dowry until... But you know, God is good and God is faithful. God can turn anything around. And they came to Moses. And they said, our father died in the wilderness. He didn't die from the sin of Korah. You know, those ones, the ground just opened up and swallowed them. They were so nasty. They were so horrible. They were so evil that God just thought, this ground, open up and swallow them. Their father died in the wilderness because they were of those that murmured. And God said, of those that come out of Israel, none of them will get to the promised land. So they came under that general curse. Zelophehad came under that general curse. He didn't die, you know, it wasn't out of wickedness. It was what would have been called a natural death because of the circumstances of what happened. So why should we, they were saying, why should we, because of what has happened naturally? We didn't ask our father not to have sons. It's not our fault. It's not my fault that I'm of the house of Manasseh. It's not my fault that I don't have pedigree. It's not my fault that I'm a half tribe. It's not my fault. It's the circumstance of my birth. Why should the circumstance of my birth matter? Why should I not be able to have an inheritance with my cousins or with my uncles because I'm a woman. And five of them came. They all came together. They presented themselves. They packaged their statement. You know, in a court of law, there is protocol. You rise, you know, they came to the entrance of the tent. They didn't just barge inside. They put a simple message together, but they were assertive. They knew what they were going to say. They had thought about it. They had thought, how will I present this thing that they would listen? Not talking anyhow. They used language that was appropriate for their standing. They used language that was appropriate for the times because they knew that they needed something to change. Dare to break the mold. Dare to make a difference. Dare to make a change. This was a time when women were property. I was reading church history, and what would happen is, you know, if you get married, if someone gets married to you as a woman, they don't like you, they will say, I'll give her a certificate of divorce, put her away. As a man, you couldn't divorce your husband. But if your husband wanted to put you away, he will put you away. It was property. Women were regarded as property. But these girls, they were, you know, bachelorettes, you know, suffragettes, single ladies. They stood before the elders and they wanted to make a change. Like, this is not fair. This should not be happening. Let us make a change. And they were making it, and I don't know how they felt, but maybe they were trembling. Maybe they felt like Esther, if I perish, I perish. But they were still ready to make that change. And the odds were stacked against them. Because they were going to, you know, there were no ladies among the elders. They were men. And that was the law. The law was, it's the men that inherit. It's the men to whom the property passes down. Because it's the men whose names will never change. You know, the house of Judah, the house of Reuben, the house of Levi. There was no house of Milcah. There was no house of Tamar. She was a sister. She was Reuben's sister. But there was no house of Tamar. But they said they were going to make a difference. And they were bold. And they decided, today is the day that things will change. I'm trusting that the Lord will change things in our lives. I'm trusting we won't remain the same. I'm trusting that we will be bold. We will be strong. Because the Lord our God is with us. As we go into 2019, as we reflect on the end of 2018, and we go into 2019, the Lord will change things in our church. It's not just about us changing. It's not just about me, but it's about us. It's not just about you, but it's about the person next to you. Whatever you do will affect people for eternity. Make that change that is necessary. And Moses went before the Lord, and the Lord heard. You know, he went, what they said, he took it before the Lord. And in verse 7, it says, sorry, in verse 6, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, the daughters of Zelophehad are right. They're right in their statements. You shall surely give them a hereditary portion amongst their fathers. You know, transfer the land to them. I mean, what made God change his mind? Because initially, it was the men that were supposed to inherit. What made God change his mind? Something was going to happen. And do you know the amazing thing about the daughters of Zelophehad? They're mentioned 5 times in the Bible. 5 whole times. Not once, not twice, not 3 times, not four, but five times they're mentioned in the Bible because of what they did. They took a stand. And they took a stand together, collective stand. You know, it's not as if the oldest one, you know, woke up and said, I'm going to go. They took that stand together. Together we stand. The Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. And so shall it be in our church in the mighty name of Jesus. As we stand together, we will make a change, not only in our community, we'll make a change in our houses, we'll make a change in our places of work, we'll actually make a change in this church. Because we are made to make a difference. We're made to break the mold. A few years ago, you know, I was speaking to one of my aunties, and she said, I have two older brothers, and I think my mom is an only child, and she really wanted a daughter. You know, for some reason, she really wanted a daughter. And she had told her friends that while she was expecting her third child, which is myself, she had told her friends that, look, if this is a girl, the way you would know is that the letter, the envelope, the stamp will be upside down. You know, when it gets to me, I'm different. So the stamp will be upside down. And lo and behold, out popped me, giving the news to all her friends, the stamp was upside down. So it was my auntie that was telling me, you know, so before she opened the letter, she knew it was a girl, you know, because there was no WhatsApp and Instagram and Facebook and all that in those days. But they really wanted a girl. They now gave me a boy's name. Because in my culture, the name Tunde is a boy's name. It's, you know, you don't hear girls being called Tunde. It's rare. Very, very rare. I don't even know of any. You know, so they really, really wanted a girl, you know. And just to show that they were saying I'm different, you know, everything is different, you know, as if they could have given me a girl's name, you know, maybe Abigail or whatever, you know, Lola or something, you know. You know, a name that at least when people hear it, they will know that it's a girl. Because, well, Tunde, they were so used to having boys that they just thought, you know, let's just give her. She's, you know. But for me, I thought, that's unique. And I've always been different. I've always been different. But when I met my husband, I said, look, I'm not a regular person. So you have to just take me as I am, you know. And to the glory of God, we're not regular people. We are peculiar. The Bible says we are peculiar people. And when we go around carrying ourselves like that, when we go around in the understanding that we're not ordinary people, we're not just the usual. We have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ flowing through our veins. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Our attitude, our perception towards life will change. It will change. It will change. It will change. The things we do, there will be a difference. There has to be a difference. And to, you know, in my family, in my immediate family, because I come from a Muslim background, I was the first person to give their life to Christ. But my father thought, what? You know, I don't think he understood what was going on in my life. Just to, you know, and to the glory of God, with patience, with prayers, people in my family are giving their lives by, you know, just like that. People who, even my father himself, before he died, he gave his life to Christ. There has to be a difference. There has to be something that we're carrying, something precious, something different that we're able to give out to others in a way that they can take it. And these five ladies, they gave, you know, they came to Moses in a manner that they could understand, and the elders that, look, there's something that needs to change here. Something needs to change. And for God to say what they are saying is right. He must have had a change of thought. They changed history. They rewrote history. We can rewrite history in Jesus' name. In this land, the United Kingdom can again be given back to the Lord. The bondwoman doesn't have to take control. We don't have to watch and sit down while the bondwoman is taking control and we're grumbling. We can do a lot on our knees. We can do a lot by saying the right thing at the right time. We can do a lot that can be written. We don't have to go to parliament. Just our next door neighbor, just our neighborhood, we can change it. Just our friends, we can change it. In fact, one thing I said to myself is, Tunde, all your friends are not going to be Christian. Because if every single friend of mine is Christian, who am I going to influence? There's nobody left to influence. We come, we say the same things, you know, how are you? I'm blessed and highly favored. If you say that to a non-Christian, they haven't got a clue. They don't know what you're talking about. You need to make a change. And how can we make a change? It's by changing our perception. They changed their perception. They thought, no, it's not business as usual. I'm not going to be dispossessed of my inheritance or what is rightfully mine. I'm going to arise and I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to break this mold, and we will break it in the name of Jesus. When we make a change, when we make a difference, God protects that thing because it's God that backs us up. You don't make a change of yourself. All the William Wilberforces, the Charles Wesleys, the John Wesleys, they didn't make that change of themselves. They believed that the Lord had spoken to them. And they went out in that power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to make that change. And the Lord protects whatever He gives to us. If He gives us a vision, He will make that provision to ensure that vision is protected for eternity. You know, I said this. Daughters of Zelophehad, they're mentioned 5 times, only them in the Bible. Mentioned 5 times. And in Numbers chapter 36, God went further to protect the inheritance for generations. Because, you know, being someone of legal background, I just like to find out a lot about how things happen, you know, how things change, how things can be protected. And let's just read Numbers chapter 36 from verse 1. So I'm reading from the NIV. Okay. The family heads of the clan of Gilead, son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, who were from the clans of the descendants of Joseph, came and spoke before Moses and the leaders of the Israelite families. They said, "When the Lord commanded my Lord to give the land as an inheritance to the Israelites by lot, He ordered you to give the inheritance of our brother Zelophehad to his daughters. Now, suppose they marry men from other Israelite tribes, then their inheritance will be taken from our ancestral inheritance and added to that of the tribe they marry into. So part of the inheritance allotted to us will be taken away." So you can see, you know, these people, they're already thinking, these girls, you know, they might find, their eyes might rove, might wander away from our clan, away from our family, away from the house of Joseph. And they might straight maybe to the house of Reuben or to the house of Simeon. If they marry with all this property that they have, it will now go to the house of the family into which they marry. Little by little,
if they, you know, if somebody just giving birth to daughters, you know, full time, after a while there'll be no land left for the house of Joseph. What do we do? But you know, God made provision. Let's go to verse 5. Verse 4, please. When the year of Jubilee for the Israelites comes, their inheritance will be added to that of the tribe into which they marry, and their property will be taken from the tribal inheritance of our forefathers. Then at the Lord's command, Moses gave this order to the Israelites. What the tribe of the descendants of Joseph is saying is right. This is what the Lord commands for Zelophehad's daughters. They may marry anyone they please, as long as they marry within the tribal clan of their father. So God had ring-fenced that inheritance for them, for the tribe of Manasseh, that no matter what happens, I mean, and there must have been enough men for them to marry within that tribe, you know, so they were protected. But God ring-fenced it. He ring-fenced the inheritance and said they will marry from within the tribe of their forefathers. No inheritance in Israel is to pass from tribe to tribe. For every Israelite shall keep the tribal land inherited from his forefathers. So God actually made protection within that legislation, that this is what is going to happen. There is no need for you to fear. So in making a change, there is no need for you to fear that there's going to be any kind of upheaval, because God has already gone before you and he knows the end from the beginning. God already knew that peradventure this happens, this is what is going to be the outcome of it. So he had made provision to ring fence the inheritance so that it will not pass from tribe to tribe, so that, you know, there will not be any bad blood within the house of Jacob. Every daughter, verse 8, who inherits land in any Israelite tribe must marry someone from her father's tribal clan, so that every Israelite will possess the inheritance of his father. So what is your father's is what is your father's is what is yours. There's no need for greed here. There's no need to think, oh, if I marry from that family, then I will add to what I already have. No inheritance shall pass from tribe to tribe, for each tribe is to keep the land it inherits. So Zelophehad's daughters did as the Lord commanded Moses. May God bless the reading of his word. You know, what I'm saying is that as we are determining to make a difference, and I'm trusting the Lord that this wind of change will touch each and every one of us. And as we determine to make that difference and to run with it, that there is no need to fear. There's no need to fear that shame is going to come upon you. There's no need to fear that, you know, you're going to be disadvantaged in any way, because the Lord has made provision to ring fence and protect you as you go out in the power of his holy name. The Lord will help us. The Lord will do us good. The Lord will do what he has to do in our lives and in our church in the name of Jesus. The Lord will ensure that what he has for us will endure. The Lord will ensure that what he has for us will endure for eternity. The Lord will ensure that you will be protected in your going out and in your coming in. The sun will not smite you by day nor the moon by night. Every evil person or every evil occurrence or every evil circumstance or every evil situation that may or may not be against you is thwarted in the name of Jesus. The Lord himself will be your protection. The Lord will be your anchor. The Lord will be your guide. The Lord will be your heel. The Lord will bear you up upon his wings, lest you dash your foot against a stone. There is no way that us, we being in the house of the Lord, we being covered by the blood of Jesus, there is no way upon the face of this earth, and I say it with full authority and the backing of the Holy Spirit, that we will thrash our feet against a stone. Because the Lord's word is yea and it is amen. And the Bible says all his promises, every single promise is yea and it is amen. I know that there is a change that is taking place, and I can feel it. And even if I couldn't feel it, because I know that the word of the Lord is by faith. We grasp it by faith. We understand it by faith. It is revealed to us by faith. And as we walk in that faith, we walk into his promise. And we walk into it confidently. And I know that as we stand and as we cross over at the end of this year, and we cross into the year 2019, even though God is not bound by years, he's not bound by seasons, he's not bound by circumstances, I tell you that every promise he has made to you, and every promise he has made to me, and every promise he has made to us as a church will come to pass in the name of Jesus. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.